What's so amazing, Tom, the effect that this has on you when you're a child. I mean, every serial killer I was reading in your book, something happened to them when they were kids.
Absolutely.
Some event, some series of events caused them to do the whacked out things they did. It's amazing what you can do to a little mind. Now, you know, maybe somewhere in the brain, there's got to be a defect somewhere. I don't know that yet. But surely when you're a kid, and if these bizarre things occur to you, it's going to affect you as you're an adult.
Oh, absolutely. But I understand that quite well, that I was going to try to do a book called The Past is Always Present. And it really is true. And, you know, I understand this myself. But when I was a kid growing up, you know, I didn't like redheaded women. And I said, geez, you know, I just stayed away from dating them and so on and so forth, you know. And, of course, I realized my mother had red hair. I mean, it sounds, they're gone now.
I like them red, brunettes, blondes, you name it.
Oh, I like them, too, but not today. But you're absolutely right about there are everything, in my view, the thing that motivates these killers happens in their childhood. And I'm not going to get into all the gory details, but I, you know, just say you take a guy like Lucas. He was born, and believe it or not, and raised in
Henry Lee Lucas.
Yeah, Henry Lee Lucas. He was raised in Blacksburg, Virginia, the same place, by the way, a town where or city where that Asian kid went wacko in a mass murder at the school. Remember that?
Yeah.
And anyway, but his mother was a prostitute, and you know, she used to not. He came from a kind of a culture. He was really down and out kind of culture. But they said even based on that, he was worse. And she dressed him like a little girl. She never bathed him and all that kind of stuff, you know. And you know, she was of course a prostitute, and you know he knew that. And she treated him like a dog more than. But I mean, all these people. It's hard to describe exactly the degree of depravity and abuse. It's not like our parents spanking us or something, or, you know.
This is almost torture.
This is almost torture. It is torture.
Yeah.
I would say that it is. I mean, once she asked him, what do you like on the farm, Henry Lee? And he says, I like the mule. So she shot the mule, you know.
Yeah.
They were talking about people who were off their rockers. And the kids then.
And she probably shot the mule right in front of him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That the we're talking about people who the killers who become terrified of people like Viola Lucas. You know, they get terrified of her, and then what they do is they push all this terror. What would you do if you had a mother like that? You'd be worried about yourself that she might come along. And
oh yeah. Thank God I never had to worry about that.
No.
My God.
So what they do is they take, this is my theory, and I think it's more than a theory, really, because I've seen it is the common denominator in a lot of these killers. They take this terror, and the way they deal with it is they push it down into their unconscious. They're not aware of the details of her, of what's going on with the, you know, they just push it away. But the feelings remain. The anxiety remains.
Yes.
The terror remains. And then...
And the lashing out remains.
That's right. The anger remains. And then what they do, as they grow up, they try to get into a position where they're in control. They have power. So they work their way through various porno stuff and fantasies and everything else. And then eventually when they're 20, usually that's a normal time. They start killing people, you know. But it's all an attempt to suppress their terror of this maternal figure or sometimes the father figure. Like take for example, we're talking about hair, red hair, and all before. Ted Bundy, I have a picture in one of my books. Ted Bundy of four of his victims, and they all have brown hair parted in the middle. And guess who had brown hair parted in the middle? You know, his mother.
Exactly.
And so yeah. this So it's all, to me, it's all, they're projecting, they're killing the thing that they're most afraid of, and it's not, they're killing symbols of the thing they're not, they're most afraid of. It's not the, the person that they actually kill. She's a symbol of what they were terrified of.
And this comes, you know, when we come back from the break, Tom, I want to talk about how many serial killers, active serial killers, there could be out there right now. But, I mean, they're coming from all walks of life these days. Truck stop serial killers, all kinds. You know, originally I thought that it never skewed race. It's done that. Women are serial killers now as well.
Right.
It is truly unbelievable. The FBI, I guess they're responsible for chasing these people down, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They have the resources. They have what they call profilers, you know, and you know, to try and figure out who did the killing and so forth. They have vast resources. And like, for example, up in Long Island where I live, they found four bodies and females. Prostitutes, by the way, that's a favorite, target of serial killers or prostitutes. Nobody went, you know, they took that finally and they gave it to the FBI. One of the problems, by the way, with law enforcement is that there's a lot of ego involved, you know, and sometimes various units won't share the information they have. And serial killers give to the FBI and they'll help you, you know. But my police department up here, they didn't accept the profiler from the FBI, which was not the way to catch a serial killer, you know.